Our next speaker is Dr. Barbara Burlingame, who is Senior Officer and Leader of the Nutrition Requirements and Assessment Group of the FAO of the UN in Rome. And her topic is food security, biodiversity, and sustainable diets.
Thank you, Harriet. And thank you, Dean, for the invitation to speak at this important conference. Biodiversity, nutrition, and sustainable diets are all leading to the same path of food security. And in my talk, I will explain how. FAO publishes every year a publication called State of Food Insecurity in the World, in which we report on the number of hungry people in the world. The World Food Summit, the first World Food Summit in 1996, set the number of hungry people at 800 million, and the goal to reduce that number or that proportion by half by the year 2015. We are very far off the target. And as you heard last night, nearly 1 billion people are estimated to be suffering from hunger. And that is not the full picture of the story. We also have data on stunting in developing countries. And you can see in this slide that stunting has decreased in some areas, for example, in Asia. The prevalence of stunting has decreased. It has also decreased in Latin America, and it's remained rather steady in Africa, unfortunately. And at the same time, we have overweight, the problem of overweight, and it's not just a problem of affluence. And this problem has increased in Asia over the last couple of decades. In Latin America, it's been rather stable, and it has also increased very dramatically in Africa. Stunting has increased. Overweight and obesity have also increased in Africa. And on top of this energy spectrum of malnutrition, we have micronutrient malnutrition, which covers both ends. You have necessarily when you are hungry, when you're underweight, undernourished, you will necessarily suffer vitamin and mineral, other micronutrient deficiencies. But at the same time, much of the obesity is also coupled with micronutrient malnutrition, and this is a map of vitamin A deficiency. And there are serious pockets of micronutrient deficiency in the world. Vitamin A deficiency is an easy marker nutrient, and typically it really means there are multiple micronutrient deficiencies. There is malnutrition in this population. To supplement only with vitamin A is rather a misguided intervention. And that brings me to the subject of biodiversity. In FAO, when we talk about biodiversity, we talk about it at three levels: the ecosystem, the species contained within that ecosystem, and then the genetic resource, the genetic variation. This is taxonomically at the level below species. And we have a lot of variation at all those taxonomic levels, including at the level of variety of plants or breeds of animals. And these are some examples. We've got in Europe several species of wheat and more than 100 varieties of wheat. These are significant in that they differ statistically significantly and nutritionally significantly in macronutrients and micronutrients: protein, individual amino acids, B vitamins, vitamin E, individual fatty acids are all different in the different varieties. Of course, there are many reasons why you get nutrient differences, but the genetic resource itself is perhaps the most important. We see it in fruits, we see it in even in breeds of animal, where the composition of milk is determined by the breed, largely, as well as other things. Food biodiversity is something that we typically don't think of as nutritionists. We think about food groups. We think about food. And at the level of the variety, we rarely think about it, which is why I like to illustrate biodiversity with Vitis vinifera, grapes, wine grapes. We can see the difference, we can smell the difference, we can taste the difference in varietal wines. A Chardonnay Canadian Riesling is completely different from a Pinot Noir. And we understand those differences. Those same differences exist throughout the plant kingdom and the animal kingdom, and we have yet to appreciate some of those differences. And in grapes and in wine, we have thousands and thousands of different varieties, and they differ significantly in vitamin content, in organic acid content, bioactive non-nutrients like anthocyanins. Resveratrol is a popular food component now. You see it on CNN, you see it in the newspapers as being anti-cancer, antioxidant component, and many other known nutrients and phytochemicals that have yet to be characterized. I was the one who commented on the sweet potatoes, and I have an example here. In this sweet potato illustration, we're looking at two things. We're looking at sweet potatoes that have been promoted through agriculture extension. It happens to be in Pacific Island countries. And some other varieties of sweet potatoes not promoted in these countries. Micronesia, for example, is an area in the world where we still have frank vitamin A deficiencies. These sweet potatoes, the ones marked with the hash sign, are the ones that are being promoted through agriculture extension, and for good reasons. These have greater disease resistance and higher yield. But some of the others are much higher in pro-vitamin A carotenoids, and beta-carotene is the example. Almost two orders of magnitude different in vitamin A content. And in a place like Micronesia, for example, eating one variety versus another can be the difference between a vitamin A deficiency, even blindness in a child, and vitamin A sufficiency. And this is why we look at the level of the variety and not just averages across a food. And this is why biodiversity is so important. Another example, also coming from Micronesia, is the example of bananas. One of my credentials is I'm the editor-in-chief of the Journal of Food Composition and Analysis. Several years ago, we had a paper submitted on the beta-carotene content of bananas from Pacific Islands. We sent it out for review to one of the most respected beta-carotene specialists in the world, who wrote back and said, I'm not reviewing this paper. We all know that bananas have no beta-carotene. And this is because in the USDA food composition tables, which everybody uses, it is reported as negligible. But in these Pacific Island countries and other parts of the world, there are bananas with beta-carotene contents in excess of 8,000 micrograms per 100 grams, compared to virtually none in the typical banana of our monoculture agriculture. So another reason why biodiversity is important. And in these island countries, where they had frank vitamin A deficiencies, these bananas, these indigenous varieties of banana, were falling to the ground. And they even imported the Cavendish banana. But things have changed now, thanks to research in the nutritional biodiversity in that country. And this also included a partnership with the CINE Institute here at McGill University and the research group of Harriet Kuhnlein. I also wanted to talk about rice. We, through monoculture agriculture, the world is losing its genetic resource of rice. In the past, there were thousands of varieties of rice. Currently, there are few varieties present in any given country. And, for example, if we look at Taiwan, and we have one of the chairs of this session lives in Taiwan, and we have 82% of the area cultivated in rice are cultivated with only three varieties, compared to more than 1,500 varieties known in the past. And why does this matter? Because we have nutritionally significant differences in nutrient content. I won't go into detail on this, but the Journal of Food Composition and Analysis had a special issue on rice, including a review paper on the genetic variability in nutrient content in rice varieties. So even just to use protein as an example, some varieties have a protein content as low as 5%. Other varieties have a protein content nearly 15%. It is the difference between an adequate intake and a less than adequate intake in many cases. I wanted to mention one of the collaborations that FAO has had with CINE here at McGill, and that involves, among other things, a publication on indigenous people's food systems, the many dimensions of culture, diversity, and environment for nutrition and health, linking all these features that need to come together for food and nutrition security and sustainable diets. And it includes 12 case studies, one of which is the Micronesian study that I mentioned. And this book is available through FAO, but also full text freely available on the FAO website. Now, when we talk about food security and nutrition security and sustainable diets, there are many challenges. And these relate to the different economic situations of countries. So in developing countries, food security is a priority. You can see with the orange line on this chart. Livelihoods is a priority. Biodiversity is not, nor is food safety really, but these are the two priorities of the developed, wealthier countries in the world. And Europe has given us some good examples of how they can afford the luxury of addressing biodiversity and the environment. And at one of their recent conferences, they remarked that the goal of increased global food production, including biofuel, should be balanced against the need to protect biodiversity, to protect ecosystems, to protect traditional foods and traditional agricultural practices. But we have a nice example from Africa, too, very recently. We have a call for action from the door. It's actually the door of no return from the House of the Slaves on Gori Island, where the delegates from Afrofoods noted that the degradation of ecosystems and the loss of food biodiversity is contributing greatly to increases in poverty and malnutrition in Africa. And they recognized that returning to local crops and traditional food systems is a prerequisite for conservation and sustainable use of biodiversity for food and nutrition. And they acknowledged that local foods are the basis for African sustainable diets. At this moment, we're conducting a survey on the FAO website on sustainable diets. This survey is open for another couple of weeks. I invite you all to take this survey. You can find it by Googling FAO and sustainable diets. But the highest number of responses, the most important consideration that the survey respondents have noted for sustainable diets is that it must exclude high chemical inputs into agriculture. High chemical inputs. And also monoculture agriculture is not compatible with sustainable diets and several other things. And this survey will be published as soon as it closes. It will be reported at the Conference on Biodiversity and Sustainable Diets that FAO is holding next month. And sustainable diets will continue as a theme at FAO, linking all those criteria. I would also like to invite everybody to sign the petition to end hunger. It can be found on the website www.1billionhungry.org. And this is a petition symbolized by the whistle, blowing the whistle on hunger. And this is my last slide. Biodiversity is important, but dietary energy supply, which is how we calculate the number of hungry people, dietary energy supply can be satisfied without diversity, but micronutrient supply cannot be satisfied without diversity. At this moment, the COP, the Convention of the Part, or the Convention of the Parties, or the Conference of the Parties, rather, is taking place in Japan. Many years ago, 12 years ago, a delegate from Zambia said the following at a COP meeting. Agricultural biodiversity is a matter of life and death for us. We cannot separate agrobiodiversity from food security. 2010 is the year of biodiversity. We've linked it to food security through sustainable diets, and let's continue beyond 2010 to address the issue of biodiversity for food security. Thanks.